Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcadia Economics, and good morning on Monday, October 20th, where, as you might be aware, we have a little activity happening in, well, not just the silver market today, in the gold market as well. And just in case you don't believe me, let me pull this up where we see the gold. Oh my goodness. Eric Young, aka King Kong,
Yeah.
who's here with me. I think when I was pulling this page up, it was 120 bucks, and that was like 10 or 15 minutes ago. Now it's up 100, the future's up 140 on the day. Silver futures up a buck 17, spot price up 51 cents, spread staying wide at a buck 15, let's call it. And in addition, we had some stunning news over the weekend. India, JP Morgan, LBMA, and also starting to hear a lot about China running into silver issues. So, what better time than to finally be joined by a guest that I think most people watching know well, and that is Eric Young, AKA King Kong 9888. And I've been following your work for a while, and I know we've been trying to set this up, and he's international gold and silver man, so you gotta call his agent well in advance, but it's great to have you here. And how are you today, my friend?
Hey, thanks, Chris, for having me on your show.
Yeah, well, it's great to finally do this. And maybe to start, before we dig into some of the issues, I know people really, I really want to hear what is going on in China because there's a lot of things we hear. Some are more or less true. But before we dig into that, which we certainly will, any thoughts on today's pricing just to kick it off here?
It's, I mean, we're back to not normal, if you can call it. We're going back up. It just looks like to me that whatever liquidity crunch that we had last week, temporary liquidity crunch in terms of US dollar funding, is now temporarily, for now, not really a major issue. That's why the bullion banks are probably covering directly on the COMEX right now. That's what we see.
Yeah, well, that would certainly make sense because you look at this chart here and just shooting up today. And hopefully that has people feeling a little better after last week's event where we had that big sell-off on Friday. But Eric, can you give us an idea of what is actually going on in China? I remember there was about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, when the rally was first starting. There was a report going around that Chinese government was encouraging its citizens to buy silver. I'm not sure if that was quite true then, although a lot has happened since now. And one other part to that, if I may, is that I know, we've had months where India has surged. We've had a lot of gold buying in China, yet at least with the data that's available and the people I've talked to, of which you were one, maybe until recently, we really hadn't seen China looking at silver. I think that's changed, but could you tell people, your vantage point? Maybe you don't have to give your exact location, but just so they can get a grasp of where you're coming from and then what's going on there.
So, Chris, I'm located in Hong Kong. It's of course part of China, but it's in the banking world is considered offshore. So just to let your audience know. In terms of silver, the interesting thing is that I've been telling my audience and my followers for the longest time that the Chinese haven't really been considering physical silver as an investment vehicle. So the Chinese people traditionally stacked up on physical gold. To them, it's just a form of savings. And as the price of physical gold broke through $2,000 US dollars per troy ounce and then kept going up, some people started viewing, or a lot of people at this point in China started viewing physical gold as an investment vehicle. Now, silver, however, not until recently, the Chinese people haven't even been looking at it because it's so freaking cheap. Silver is too cheap. Too cheap for anybody to view in China as an investment vehicle. But something changed, you see, in the last 6 months. What I heard from Shanghai 2 months ago, a month, 2 months ago, is that the Chinese investment demand or investment buying of physical silver went up 50% in the second half of 2025. So that's significant, because before, the people who stacked physical silver in China, they were considered by normal Chinese people as an oddity. You know,
Ah.
like, what's
Everywhere in
wrong
the
with you?
globe, if you buy
Well,
silver, you're the weirdo.
you're the weirdo, exactly. So,
We'll show them.
and then boom,
$50
right?
maybe.
Like 2 months ago, all of a sudden, 50% increase in investment grade silver buying in China. Now, I don't know if you know, Chris, but like 2 weeks ago,
Nope, sorry about that.
sorry, yeah, it's okay. 2 weeks ago, 2, 3 weeks ago, something strange happened. Like the some of the silver investment funds in China, they stopped subscription. So they stopped opening up to new investors. And a lot of people were like, it's silver running out in China, etc. And my response back then was that in China, the usage of silver is always prioritized to in industries and the Chinese military. So like those guys take precedence over some guys like me and you, Chris, who wants to buy silver, pretty silver for investment. Okay? We take the back seat. The Chinese industries making, things like electric vehicles, solar panels, AI, server farms, semiconductors, electronics, missiles, tanks, airplanes, whatever. Right? Those guys take precedence over the silver investment community. So what we're seeing right now in China with the silver, physical silver supply being really tight on the retail end is simply a symptom of that. We're just seeing it wide open right now in public in China.
Yeah, and Eric, if I may, I'd like to play a clip that you shared. I believe this was last week. Let's see here. October 13th, so last Monday, and I'm not sure why that thing's going in the background. Hey, AI still has a little work to do on my computer, but let's play this one here, and then perhaps you can give us your comment, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Oh, this day has been so busy. Just to inform everyone, now silver futures, which means the normal price of silver sheets and silver bars, silver sheets with an additional 1 cent on the market price and silver bars with an additional 5 cents cannot be ordered now. The material factory is temporarily not taking orders. We estimate that we might return to normal and resume taking orders around the end of the month. Now they say even if you wait a year, you can't place an order. Previous orders from customers are not affected. Orders that have been placed are not affected. Now, if you want to get silver sheets or silver bars, you can only do so at a higher price. We are finding spot goods for everyone. The store also has spot goods. This is the current situation.
Eric, I'm going to play this brief part again here because this is interesting.
We estimate that we might return to normal and resume taking orders. The material factory is temporarily not taking orders.
So that's interesting when he says the material factory. It sure sounds like he's describing industrial demand, which again, when I think the scenario of which a lot of silver investors has drawn them in is that if we ever reach a shortage and people talk about Samsung or an Apple not being able to get what they need, but we have a shortage in India. I think you can say that safely. You have a shortage at the LBMA. And then late last week, there was that article about how the Royal Mint talking about delays. And I'm thinking, well, maybe they're not making cell phones, but that's kind of counts as an industrial user. And then we have this here. So could you share what you think about this one and what he said there?
I think it's exactly like what I just told you, Chris. It's China The Chinese government is simply reallocating its silver supplies, whatever silver that it can get its hands on, to critical industries and critical manufacturers. Like exactly like what you said, like Samsung is a critical industrial user of silver in Korea, in South Korea. So in China, there are other companies, right? Like, for example, you have like BYD that makes electric cars. You have, Huawei that makes the smartphones in China, and they also make electric cars as well. And you have, companies like Tencent and Alibaba and SMIC that are in the arena of making semiconductors right now for the domestic Chinese market, and also the BRICS Plus, apparently. So these guys, in my opinion, Chris, these guys that I just mentioned, they're sucking up all the physical silver from the Chinese domestic market. That's why we're seeing the small fishes, which is what that Chinese guy is talking about. That's why we're seeing the small fishes in China, not able to get physical silver potentially right away, or they might have to wait until the end of this month to place the order. So I think it's simply a situation where the global silver supply is being crunched right now. There's a supply shortage, okay? Or there's a dislocation. Some people like to use that word. And
Good
the
word.
Chinese government is simply, yes, it's dislocation, which means, by the way, in their book, is that the silver is available, but it's somewhere where it shouldn't be. Okay? Dislocation, they use that word. Anyway. But I think in China, simply right now, they see what's going on in the global silver market, and they're trying to make sure that their critical industries have access to physical silver. That's what we see.
Well, that's particularly well said, and I find there was something you mentioned in there that, let's just say, I think we need to touch on that. You mentioned how they might have to wait until the end of the month, especially over the past week or so, really since things kind of escalated in London and then India. I try to always be careful. I understand, especially in the silver community, when you say shortage, people get excited, but so you want to use the word appropriately. I think we had a silver shortage in India, that's safe to say. And I'm wondering, okay, well, now the articles that first came out, they said, but we're out now, but we're expecting in the next truck in a week or two. Now that's over 2 weeks now, I believe, or getting close to it. And I'm trying to think, do we have like you said, dislocation? Or are we actually in a silver shortage? Now, the Royal Mint added to that. What you say in China is particularly interesting because I don't know if you saw this yesterday. This blew my socks off. This was from that Bloomberg article that went behind the scenes. And here they mentioned around 2 weeks ago, JP Morgan, the largest precious metals trader and an important bullion supplier to the Indian market, told at least one of its clients that it had no more silver to available to deliver to India for the month of October, and as soon as it could deliver offer supplies was in November. So now it's a little longer than a week or two. We're saying no silver to India in October. You're saying China has to wait. And then Eric, the last one that I'll mention, then you can give me your comments on all of this. Because I guess if my socks were blown off on the JP Morgan one, I won't say my pants were blown off. That one, I guess I said it, but anyway, it's that wild because here, talking about, the LBMA and what they did to step in, I guess more to COMEX back in 1998, although LBMA changed their rules as well. They're COMEX in 1980, then you have Warren Buffett in 1998, and they're saying how. When Buffett purchased a quarter of the world's annual mine output, LBMA changed its rules to accept metal that'd be delivered within 15 days rather than usual 5-day window. But all right, here we go. I won't tease anyone anymore. We're getting to it. The LBMA does not see the need to take similar action now because it views the current squeeze as the result of genuinely short supplies of silver rather than due to logistical bottlenecks as occurred in 1998. So again, I'll say this is Bloomberg. It's not the Daily Inquirer. I'm assuming when they say someone familiar in the LBMA's thinking, they're not making that up. And at least based on those two things, as well as what you're saying, now I'm starting to think, is this more than just a dislocation? At least the LBMA is saying that we've actually hit a shortage.
Okay, so I'm going to answer the dislocation question first. So the comment. When they say dislocation, Robbie Gollick and Daniel Galli of TD, TD Securities, when they say that, what they mean, Chris, is that although the LBMA in London is running low on silver, there's plenty of physical silver sitting in New York at the COMEX at the COMEX registered vault. Okay, so the last I checked, the COMEX registered vault has approximately 170 million troy ounces of physical silver. So that's around 6,000 metric tons. Okay, so that's what they mean by that. They're saying, they're basically saying they're looking at the LBMA, the COMEX, and the ETFs as one big system, which is what I've been telling my followers all this time. The West has the LBMA, the COMEX, and the ETFs like SLV and GLD as one big system connected by the EFP mechanism, which is the acronym for Exchange for Physical. Although, as me and you both know, most of the time, normally, it's just cash settlement, okay? Via the EFP mechanism. Anyway, so that's what they mean by dislocation. Let me ask you, Chris, do you agree with that? Do you agree with the fact that, they're using this word dislocation to describe the current situation? Because they're basically, telling you, me, and our audience that the COMEX is the last source of physical silver, basically the last location of physical silver of last resort for the entire Western world. So do you agree that like we're in a dislocation, or do you think, let's say, some of the people I talk to are telling me that if we go at the current rate, the COMEX is going to be completely drained within 2 months.
How do you mean that with the COMEX at the higher levels? Meaning you think that's, or that you or that person is saying that they expect all that to start shifting over to London?
What I'm saying is this, right? They are saying this is this location because the silver is not in the right place. That's what they're saying. It's all sitting at the COMEX. And the LBMA has zero free float, close to zero right now. Okay? That's what they're saying. That's the dislocation. So what I'm saying is that, is it really a dislocation or a global shortage of physical silver, as you have implied in our conversation today? That's my question. And personally, I think we're in a global silver shortage, rather than a dislocation. That's just my personal opinion on this matter.
Yeah, well, I think that makes sense. And I suppose my answer to that, I try to be conservative and cautious on these things. And maybe 2 weeks ago, I was thinking, well, at the moment, it looks like a dislocation. Then India pops up. I mean, put it this way, it's one of those things where 2 weeks ago, when you do have a dislocation, it could have been the beginning of a shortage. I didn't have enough evidence, although it's like the evidence is starting to pile up now. And again, we mentioned India. You're talking about China. We're seeing bullion shops, Australia, Vietnam. run, and again, I try to distinguish. I mean, there's one thing if you have silver, but people have bought all the minted coins, so you have a product shortage is different than a silver shortage. But that's why I mentioned this part again, because it's like I didn't know for sure. I was looking for evidence. I'm starting to find it. And then I guess this is a big smoking gun, because here's the LBMA that is underpinning the physical market, and they're saying it's a shortage, not a dislocation. So it is starting to look like that at least could be the case.
Right. If Chris, if you take off your share screen, I want to share a chart. Yes.
Sure.
The audience. Hold on. Let me do that.
And everybody watching at
Yeah.
home, watch in the
Excellent.
comment, in the chat, or in the comment section below. What do you think? Are
Okay, so
we
do
location or short
you guys see
squeeze?
this? Do everybody see this? Yes.
Not
This
there.
chart
There we
that I
go.
am sharing with the audience.
Yes,
There we
it
go.
is.
So what do we see here? That's the
And Eric,
UK, like,
just so you know,
United Kingdom. Yes.
it's a little bit small, so if you can just help guide people, it may be hard to see the numbers or names on the bottom.
Okay. So this is a chart of 2024 UK silver exports. And the total, that's basically silver going out of London. Okay? If I just simplify it, silver coming out of the LBMA to the entire world.
Okay.
The year total is 4,213 metric tons. And India long took 2,764 metric tons from the UK. And then the second biggest importer of physical silver from the LBMA in 2024 is the UAE, 666 metric tons. But you got to remember this, Chris. The Indians also import silver from the UAE
They have
because the UAE has a LBMA hub, exactly, has an LBMA hub there, right? So basically,
And they had
India,
that.
yeah,
I'm
sorry.
sorry, I wasn't sure if you were going to touch on it, but they also had that reduced tariff treaty between UAE and India, which had been directing a lot of metal from there, although I believe they changed that about half a year ago and it slowed down. But anyway,
Okay,
continue.
so back to this. India is by far the biggest importer of physical silver from the UK, from London, from the LBMA. And you're telling me that JP Morgan, by the way, JP Morgan is a LBMA member and also a LBMA clearing member. So there's this thing called the London Precious Metals Clearing Limited. All right? And the London Precious Metals Clearing Limited, it operates this system called ARM, which is basically the clearing electronic system that allows LBMA members to conduct these bilateral trades of gold and silver promissory notes. And so you're telling me that JP Morgan, which is a big player at the LBMA member, and also the clearing firm member at the LBMA is telling India that they don't have any silver. You know what that means, Chris? That means the local London spot silver contracts, the cash contracts,
Yeah.
are being delayed. Just like what happened to gold back in February of this year. Remember that fiasco when the LBMA came out and said gold is heavy and they can't get the trolleys or whatever to move? That's why the gold contracts or gold deliveries were delayed like T plus 30, T plus 60 from the delivery date. You're telling me it is happening to silver right now in London. That's what you're telling me from the article. That's shocking. So, I'm not making this up because you just put up the article. The LBMA, if that's the case, Chris, they are in technical default.
I know what you mean. And actually, let me show you something else that I found, well, I'll need a minute on that one, but I did, again, we'll put this in the rumor category, although the article that I am looking for actually touched on that. Did have someone tell me who was in touch with the banking side that last week that there was at least a rumor going around that someone had had a failure to deliver to JP Morgan. To be clear, it's not definitive, but someone in position to have heard that in at least a reasonable manner, and I'll look for that other article. But there was it was on Gold Broker, and they were talking about how basically the same thing, that there was some sort of break. And yeah, so what you're saying, actually, here we go. Let me pull this up for you here.
Okay, but do you
And
see the sorry, I was just sharing the screen on this video chat, like for your followers to look at, which were the clearing members at the LBMA. Like, you know, they like those guys. I'm gonna put it up again. Hold on. Just a second. Let me do that. Let me put that picture up again so that people can see it. Right. There we are. Okay. So we have UBS, JP Morgan, HSBC, and then ICBC Standard Bank. What do you notice here, Chris? Like these four banks, the clearing members at the LBMA, which like, you know, like there's a name for it. London Precious Metals Clearing Limited. So they're members of that company there. That essentially control that system that I mentioned, ARM, that clears the bilateral contracts that the LBMA facilitates. Okay? So what do we notice? The only non-Western banks that diagram, ICBC, which is the Industrial Commercial Bank of China, and Standard Bank of South Africa. Those two guys are what? They're part of the BRICS Plus. And India is also part of the big BRICS Plus. So what I'm seeing here is that the BRICS countries have probably directed their banks to stand for delivery of physical silver at the LBMA. At a probably abnormally high, I'm putting that in quotation marks, by the way, okay? Amount of silver. So I don't know if your audience know this or not, but the LBMA, it trades a lot of paper, gold, and silver. And
Right.
it doesn't have enough gold and silver to back up its paper trades. So in the case of silver, David Jensen has documented this and tracked this, and he says the paper to physical ratio at the LBMA is 400 to 1. So my question is, what if in the last 3 weeks, India and China came out and stood for delivery for 5,000 metric tons of physical silver? And that's why the free float at the LBMA went from 5 to 7,000 metric tons to zero last week and near zero at this point.
That's what you would think it would look like if something like that happened. And Eric, let me pull this back up. Quick look at our pricing. We're up another 10 bucks in the gold price. So it's now
It's
up.
crazy, eh? Yes.
Futures are now up 150. Oh, let's round that up to 151. I thought when we were up 140 bucks one day last week that that had to be a record. I don't know if this is a record, but there you see, silver futures up $1.31, spread coming in a little bit. And I'm wondering if the spread continues to narrow. It got down to 60 or 70 cents. And the day that it did, we saw a smaller withdrawal. So keep an eye on that. But Eric, here, are you in touch with Bai Zhaojun at all?
I
You
talked to
talk
him.
with him?
Yeah, I talked with him. Yeah.
All right, so here he mentions China's silver capital is out of stock. CCTV Financial News accounts for 1/4 of silver production, known as silver capital of China. Most of the shops are out of bars. Anything you'd like to comment on that in particular?
Well, like I said, Chris, this is just another symptom of China trying to preserve its physical inventory of silver for the industrials, for the critical industrial users of silver, the people I mentioned to you, right? So, I mean, this, in my opinion, Chris, maybe we're never going to get back to normal because remember, Donald Trump put silver into a critical minerals list recently, right? So silver is now a U.S. Critical mineral, that is basically critical for U.S. national security. So I don't see like you know I. This is my first time on your program, but I've said this many times. I thought that for the whole time that China was the manufacturing hub for the Western world for the last 30 years, China worked with guys like JP Morgan to suppress the price of silver because China needed to make cheap manufactured goods for the entire world and the Western world as well. And it was in China's interest to keep the price of silver down. And now we're in a situation where, if you listen to Bessent and Donald Trump, they're saying that we're in a trade war with China, or the US is in a trade war with China, meaning that they're going through a divorce. If that's the case, why would the US subsidize China with cheap silver? Because let's just be honest. That's what this thing really is the entire Western world sending artificially cheap silver, which is complete BS, by the way. You said it yourself in your program many times. It's suppressed, it's BS, it's not the real price. They're shipping real, physical silver to the LBMA, and from the LBMA, it gets shipped to India and China. So that's what, it was for the longest time. And also, of course, the COMEX shipped physical silver out to China and India as well in the past. So my point is the Western world basically threw away this strategic metal, silver, to guys like India and China for cheap for all this time. And now, the Western world is trying to reshore manufacturing. Okay? They're trying to divorce themselves from China in particular, and possibly the BRICS. Why would the US continue to, I don't want to say it this way, but I'm just going to say it. Why would the US continue to send away its family jewels, which is silver, physical silver, to these countries that are potential adversaries to the US for cheap, for nothing? It doesn't make any sense.
Actually, I could explain that one.
Okay.
Would you like to hear Chris's take? I
Yes.
mean, it's actually pretty simple when you look at how the American government's run. You have someone come in for 4 or 8 years, they generally seem to loot whatever they can out of there before the next team comes in, and there isn't any long-term planning, which is one of the things that, and I know that I haven't been there, so you can tell me. It sounds like Chinese government, not perfect either, but. Eric, this was one I had not seen this before until over the weekend. Looks like it came out about 4 months ago. But interpretation of the implementation plan for the high quality development of the gold industry And they talk a lot about silver in there as well. I won't read through this whole thing. I'll tell you what, I'll put the link in the chat though, in case anyone wants to. But basically, in short, it was a pretty detailed plan that they're working on to increase gold production, increase silver production. So, like you said, while the US just is, like, hey, NVIDIA's up again today, China, not just talking about it, but putting plans together, and anything you could share for people on that one.
Yeah, so like I said, I just think China at this point is realizes that there's no going back with the US. So it needs to drastically lessen its dependency on the US dollar, US Treasury bills, bonds, and notes as international interbanking collateral or repo collateral for the international trade. So China is trying to build a international gold infrastructure to replace the US Treasury collateral. It's that simple. And I mean, you probably interview other people, they probably told you already that China is setting up offshore Shanghai Gold Exchange vaults, okay, for gold and silver, especially gold. And my interpretation of that is that China is going to be storing some SGE gold at those offshore locations, so that they can begin using the gold warrants from the SGE with the physical gold at those offshore locations as collateral for their international trade and also their interbanking collateral and liquidity.
Well, we're seeing it happen. We've been seeing it happen for, I don't know, I guess you could say 20 or 15 or 20 years. So I appreciate that, Eric. And Eric, there's another thing that's been popping up. I've had a couple of people emailing me asking about it. There's a report of someone saying that there's only silver available at $128 in China, which I'm not sure is capturing the full extent of it. It sounds like there might be one or more. Have you heard that, and what could you say to help people get what to take away from that they're seeing?
That's just Chris. That's like you probably guessed already. That's just a one-off thing. It's probably some panda bar or like panda coin that is hard to get, and then they have a huge premium. But normally, I have a pretty big following on RedNote, which is the Chinese version of Twitter or X, and people are telling me that the premium is like around 2-3. You can get it 2-3 bucks above spot. And of course, you have to add the VAT, which is 13% on spot. So add the VAT and then 2-3 bucks, and they can get it. Or like worst case scenario, 10 bucks on top of the VAT. But the interesting thing is, Chris, the Chinese are paying 13% tax, right? Which is the value-added tax on the silver that they buy, but nobody cares. You know why? They tell me silver is so freaking cheap. It's dirt cheap. Nobody cares if they're paying 13% tax because it's so cheap. That's the world that we live in now. Silver is still dirt cheap at about $50 per troy ounce. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, well, I'll show you what else is pretty amazing because, again, Bloomberg, maybe they're just watching your Twitter feed. I mean, they're saying basically the same things. And again, not that their opinion is better than yours, but just it's nice to hear that not you have a big Twitter audience. Now you've got Chinese version of Twitter, so you're global silver superstar. And anyway, this part was interesting. Where could the new supply come from? Let's just say it's not sounding good. Global mine production has been constrained by declining ore grades and limited new project development. Eric, I've heard you talk about that. I've had everyone outside of Santa Claus on the channel here talking about it. But here we go. Mexico, Peru, and China, the top three producers, have all faced setbacks ranging from regulatory and environmental restrictions. And reshuffling inventory from New York to London might solve the immediate crisis, but it won't fix persistent deficits. That's what I find interesting. I mean, looks like about 20 million ounces left the COMEX, but it's like How long does that buy us? Then two notes from Craig Hemke that he had in his column today. For 25 years, every time silver futures fell below spot, people arbed it. This time they can't. Borrowing is too expensive. No one wants to release the metal. Then if we go down here, there's the report from Buy. Here, one refinery is not an entire country, but agree this is significant. Indian refineries running low on metal. U.S. refineries, there's a Brian Kuzmar told me last week there's only one LBMA US approved US refinery that is currently producing silver. So then here was the one that I wanted to mention before. Recent weeks, industrial clients have ended up draining the LBMA's floating supply of silver to a critical level. One bank then refused to lend physical metal to its counterparts. Interbank trading immediately came to a standstill. So not just you saying it, it's not just me saying it. We're seeing this reported everywhere. It is what you could debate what it is, but it is happening now.
Okay, I'm gonna say this, Chris. Have you seen that movie Margin Call with Kevin Spacey?
Oh,
Remember that
yeah, of
movie?
course.
Yeah, it's a
Yeah.
cool movie,
I
right?
was thinking about that last week.
Yeah.
Maybe. Think
Yeah.
Amazon has a group watch thing. Maybe we should get together
Yeah.
and like let people log in and watch
Yeah.
Margin Call, and we
Let
can.
me tell you something. That movie is really good because it basically in one movie explained how the banks operate and how the banks make money. Okay? The banks, the bullion banks, they make money at the LBMA buying and selling gold and silver promissory notes. And at the COMEX, they buy and sell the longs and the short positions at the COMEX. So they do both, right? Remember you guys argued with a whole bunch of like people who were affiliated with the LBMA or had dealings with them, and they were saying there's no manipulation whatsoever because the banks are on both sides of the trade. I agree with that. There's a ton of paper going both ways. Okay? They make money by the spread. That's how they make money, Chris. They jack up the volume, the paper volume, and they make money from the spread of these trades. Okay, because they're on both sides, buy side, sell side. Now the problem is this, Chris. The when you know 8:30 or 9:30 in the morning, every day, New York, when New York opens, what happens? You see that concentrated short positions from the commercials, right? The commercials are basically the bullion banks. And you and your followers and the other experts are always saying, what the hell? How is it possible that some bullion bank came out and shorted an entire year's worth of mining production in like half an hour on the COMEX. And it slams the price of silver like $2 or $3 or whatever, right? I explained to my audience how they do it because at the same time, when they're shorting at the COMEX, they're buying longs at the LBMA, you see, promissory notes. They're buying the long, so it balances out. They're hedging. That's the argument from these guys who keep telling us that there's no manipulation. Okay? Now, the problem with that, Chris, is that everything is fine if nobody stands for physical delivery at the LBMA. Right? Then, you know, they just do the paper trade, everybody's fine, everybody makes money, right? But what if a whole bunch of people stand for physical silver delivery at the LBMA to the point it empties the LBMA office physical silver free float, which is exactly what happened in the last 2 weeks. Then the entire system breaks down. So the people who told us that the banks are hedged at the LBMA, well, you know what? Not really, because happening right now. The entire system is breaking down right before our eyes.
I'd like to speak with the analyst who seems to stumble across this mess.
Certainly. That would be Peter Sullivan, right here.
Oh, Mr. Sullivan, you're here. Good morning. Maybe you could tell me what you think is going on here. And please, speak as you might to a young child or a golden retriever. It wasn't brains that got me here, I can assure you of that.
Eric, could you put that in context for a bullion banker or a golden retriever? I love that movie. I'm glad you brought it up. And, and we got the commercial going in the background there. But yeah, go ahead.
So yeah, Chris, I mean, it's as simple as like what the movie explained. The banks do the buying and the selling, and they make money from the spread. That's it. Everything is about the spread and their cost of funding, you know, cost of capital, whatever you call it. So as long as they can balance out these two things, they make money. That's the business model across the board, okay? I mean, there are, of course, like, you know, minor details in each asset category that they work with, but essentially, on paper at least, they don't go overly net long or anything, and they don't go overly net short or anything. Like I explained, when they go super net short on the COMEX, or what Ted Butler said, concentrated shorts on the gold and silver trade at the COMEX, they are hashed with long positions at the LBMA. Okay? So theoretically, that's how it works, right? But like, what happened? Like I just said, China and India most likely called up the LBMA guys and they said, hey guys, remember the 100 contracts that we have, paper contracts for silver. Yeah. We don't want to cash settle. We want the silver, but we know you only have one bar, but we don't care. We want to settle. We want the physical silver. That's what happened. That's what I think happened. And then JP Morgan came in, your favorite bank. I know that, Chris. You also always talk about JP Morgan. They came in the middle of the night. I'm just like being theatrical here, okay? And they said, you know what? This thing is going to come crashing down. So we're going to stop leasing metal to anybody. And that's why lease rates shot up. And that's why JP Morgan essentially stopped letting anybody go into SLV to take SLV physical silver. Okay? So that's what I think happened, essentially.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned JP Morgan. I know you follow Robert Gottlieb's commentary as well. He's been describing the same thing. Actually, I actually even talked to him for about an hour last week, and was quite enlightening, and I think he's going to be coming on the show soon. So,
wow!
You know, again, it's not just you, it's not just me, it's not just Bloomberg. And by the way, I might add, Eric, this is quite helpful and brilliant what you're sharing here today. So, if you're watching at home, there, hit the subscribe button and the notification bell so that you can stay posted on all these things. Sure, appreciate you being here with us today, and. Eric, I got one last one, and then I don't want to keep you too long, and we'll start wrapping up. But here is from Nick Laird over at Gold Charts RS. We see the Shanghai inventories. This has Gold Exchange and Futures Exchange. You can see in 2021, this was a little bit before the silver squeeze when then COMEX and LBMA started coming down, but came down quite a bit. You know, it was a flat for the last year or so. Although I found it interesting that as things have developed in these past couple months, yeah, I don't know if this is a cascade yet, although in the context of everything else you've described for the last 50 minutes, certainly seems worth keeping an eye on. And anything you'd like to point out on the silver stocks?
I'd like to say this, Chris, okay? Some people tell me China is shipping silver to the LBMA to save the LBMA. Looking at this chart here, do you think China is doing that? Do you think China, like, let's say a couple guys are doing that. Okay, fine, right? Because there are always going to be people who want to try, you know, making some money from an arbitrage. But broadly speaking, do you think China is shipping a bunch of silver to the LBMA to save the LBMA, given what we talked about today? Like, you know, the shortage in China of physical silver and the chart that you just showed the audience?
I wouldn't think so. And I remember there was another Bloomberg article. I was trying to find this one, but it spoke directly to that, where it's like, people are wondering if metal's going to come from China, but they have their own issues there, and it doesn't seem like they'd be in a rush to help out the LBMA.
Okay. Well, I don't think India is shipping silver to the LBMA. I mean, hell, India is waiting for JP Morgan to fulfill its contract obligations to ship silver from London to India. So India is not going to help. So who is left? It's the COMEX. The COMEX is the last physical silver piggy bank to help save the LBMA. Now, the problem is, Chris, like I said, Donald Trump declares silver to be a critical mineral. And if you look at the silver inventory charts at the COMEX, the US spent most of this year sucking physical silver from the LBMA, from London to the US. So I'm assuming that, I'm just going to throw some names in there, like guys like David Bateman, the billionaire. Buying silver off the COMEX. I don't think they want to ship their silver to the LBMA. As a matter of fact, if they still have any silver left at the COMEX vaults, I'm pretty sure they're going to be they're very eager to take physical delivery of the silver come delivery month, which is December. But my understanding is that you can start taking delivery in November. So how much of that 170 million troy ounces of silver at the COMEX registered vaults are available for the LBMA? That's a question for your audience. Now, Robert Gottlieb said that the LBMA, in order to go back to any kind of normality, need 150 million troy ounces of silver, additional to what they have already. So I really don't think the LBMA can get all the silver from the COMEX. And then the Bloomberg article that you just mentioned, it talked about Peru, all the South American countries that have a lot of silver, like not in its pure form, but silver concentrates. Okay, or doré bars or whatever, right? But guess what, Chris? Now I'm going to throw a name in there, Vince Lancey. Okay, he broke the story a year or 2 years ago that President Xi from China signed deals with these small countries directly importing unrefined doré bars or like silver concentrates from Peru, from these South American countries. So China is
So,
already doing
Eric,
that. Yes.
if I may, I
Yes.
just, if you want to know who told Vince about that one, because someone was at the Rick Rule Symposium last summer and talked to a miner, just ask me sometime. But Vince and I talked with him together, although I did finally find something before Vince, which is not easy to do because I think he trades 27 hours a day and reads another 5 hours a day. But anyway, continue.
So awesome. You were the one who broke the story. But anyway, so Vince asked Bai about this, like Bai Oriental Ghost, and Bai confirmed. Bai went to his sources in China and came back to us and said, yes, China is importing directly from these. So basically, my point being that the LBMA is tapped out. I don't think the COMEX is going to save it. It's not me saying it. It's Bloomberg saying it. Bloomberg is more aggressive than Eric Young on this matter. Bloomberg is more aggressive than Chris Marcus on this, matter of silver crisis at the LBMA. My conclusion, Chris, and it might be shocking to your audience, is that the only solution is a higher silver price. Price solves everything. That's my conclusion.
Well said, my friend. Just well wrapped up. And there you go. Bloomberg saying what folks at the LBMA are allegedly thinking. I'm feeling we'll hear more about that. And I'm excited to talk to a couple people today about this and find out more. Although, Eric, Can't thank you enough for this masterclass you delivered here. You have your global audience packing the room there. So perhaps just in wrapping up, you could let people know where they can find you here. A lot of great information you share, and I bet you'll add a couple to the 55,000 followers you have there. But anything else you could mention on that?
So people can follow me on X at King Kong 9888. X is Twitter, right? Or they can, if they're Chinese, they can find me on Red Note, same account, King Kong 9888. Thank you, Chris.
Well, I appreciate that. And also in the description field below. And just one final note before we do wrap up, just did want to thank First Majestic Silver, who has been a longtime sponsor of the show, helped to make this possible so that we could stay on the air until Silver actually got here. And fortunately, First Majestic, they just did have their production numbers out where they came back with a record 3.9 million ounces of silver for the quarter. 7.7 million silver equivalent ounces when you factor in the gold. Obviously, this is on the heels of their Los Gatos deal last year, which I was thinking, I guess some people could say it was an aggressive deal, although, especially with what has happened with silver this year, has worked out perfectly to have that extra production. You see that reflected here in the First Majestic stock chart, which, back there in May, Eric, end of May, it was below $6. Now we're 14. And before we close out, any words on the mining stocks that you'd like to pass along?
I just want to say, Chris, I'm a longtime holder of First Majestics, and it's one of my biggest positions. So I'm super happy that Keith and First Majestics is doing well. I'm happy because I'm making a ton of money on paper, at least. I haven't sold yet. I'm holding First Majestics.
Well, it certainly has been a good year for them. A lot of changes. They had a couple tough years, and I think that's when you find out, when you go through the hard times, see how people come back from that. So, yeah, that has been great news. One final look at our pricing. Oh, gold's only up 148 now. Disappointing news for everyone. But anyway, Eric, thank you again, my friend, King Kong 9888 on Twitter. He was a little late today. Actually, he was on time, but I said he was late because he was climbing down the Empire State Building. But really, this is great to give people a perspective on what's going on in the East. So we'll have to do this again soon. And everyone watching at home, hope you had fun too. So leave a comment of how you think this is all going to shake out, whether it's a dislocation or a shortage. And Eric, we'll see what happens today and tomorrow. But certainly for the people who've been following this for a long time, very exciting time. And just thank you for all you're doing, my friend.
Thanks, Chris. Have a nice day. Take care.